Imagine if you could enroll in a class with an instructor that is the greatest, the most knowledgeable, is the expert in whatever field that may be. Whatever you're interested in. Maybe it's an art. Maybe it is a musical instrument. Maybe it's for your career path, or maybe it's for investments. I mean, imagine if you could sit with Warren Buffett, right? He's going to point out exactly how he determines to pick the right company to invest in. And you got to sit with him and learn all of this, and it does nothing to you. It doesn't change you at all. You don't change the way you do things at all. You continue to go with what you were doing before. It'd be kind of startling, wouldn't it? We're talking about walking in Ephesians. And in this walk, we're going to see we are being taught. We're seeing a number of walks. Walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And he began talking to us about walks by telling us about the walk of unity. So it begins with walking together. We're in fellowship one with another. And this is where it starts. And now he's begun to talk to us about the walk of holiness. And the walk of holiness is, as we looked at and started to talk about last week, is walking like him. After all, if we're a Christian, that's what we're claiming. We're claiming that we're following him, not going our own way. We're following him. We're Christian, follower of Jesus Christ. And so this is the new path that we're on. And so now the way he begins is this. He tells us, don't walk like you used to walk. That's what we looked at last week. Don't walk that way. Walk in the new way. We have now a new path. And so what we're going to see here is this new path is different than the old path. In fact, it's really the exact opposite of the old path. The old is very self-focused and self-centered. The new path is Christ-focused, Christ-centered. Different purpose, right? The old, as he had told us, is living in the futility of your mind. What does that mean? Emptiness. There's not any substance. It's just wherever you may want and desire to go. The new way is full of purpose and direction and substance. It lasts. The old is ignorant of the truth of God. The new knows the truth of God and grows in understanding it. The old is in darkness, we saw. Darkness in its thinking. The new is renewed in this, and it's enlightened. The old is in darkness in the way in which they think, all their thoughts. And so they're in darkness as far as morality. The old way is callous to it. The new way is very sensitive to sin and very open to following and understanding morality. The old regresses. It just continues to worsen. The new path continues to mature and continues to advance and grow. What we have seen with this path and what we will continue to see is as we're on this path, this is more than just some mental assignment. It's more than just involving our intellect, although it most certainly involves it. What we have mentioned and we will continue to see throughout the rest of this book is you cannot separate what you believe from who you are. You can say a lot of things, and you can say a lot of things about what you believe, but those that really, truly believe, there's an impact, and it comes out in the life. Now, the new way is not simply a set of wooden rules that we are to follow and that we are to do. It's a relationship with a person. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ that we have come and we've learned this through hearing. He's going to show us through teaching and the truth, which is in Jesus Christ. Remember, what did John call Jesus Christ? He called him the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Information that comes to us. So it begins with this information and knowledge that comes to us in the mind, works into the heart, and then manifests itself outwardly. Walking in this way. And what makes up this walk? Learning Christ, hearing Christ, and knowing Christ. So we're going to look at Ephesians here, chapter 4. I'm going to go back and grab what we read last week so you see it in line in the contrast as he begins to tell us about the way in which we do walk. Now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. That's as far as we're going to go. What we are seeing here is that there is a learning Christ. Notice how he begins this part of the text. We've seen where the walk was, but that is not the way. There's the conjunction here. Now, it seems obvious, doesn't it? I mean, after he lists what we just read there, well, of course, that's not the way you would learn Christ. I mean, who would learn Christ that way? It seems almost bizarre and extreme. We have been taken off this path, and we might not have went as far as he explains on here and shows. It was the progression of our brokenness, but have been taken off from this futility of mind, this emptiness, and has changed our direction. Now, we've seen this contrast before, haven't we? He does this, but you remember earlier, but God, he explained to us what you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were dead. You were without hope. But God, being rich in mercy, he was rich toward us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive in Christ Jesus. Further on, he tells us you were far off from him. You were strangers to him. You were in this world and without God and no hope. But now, in Christ Jesus, you have been brought near by the precious blood of Christ. That contrast, but, and he's the same thing now here. This is the walk you were on. This is where you're going. This is who you were. One that has truly received Jesus Christ, not that way. Much different than this way, has moved off of that way. Now we are in Christ. It should be a feeling of relief. A feeling of thanksgiving as we read this passage, to realize where we were at. The unbeliever progressively goes from bad to worse. And might not be in actions that we see, but in that heart, as it gets like a rock, stone cold toward God, and absolutely sold out in their own way. See, we have moved off that. We've moved off going our way and have come to follow Jesus Christ. For he says, that is not the way you learn Christ. Your way is not the way. So here you have the how and the direction. And what do we know when it comes to leaving our path? What is this called? Repentance. Remember Peter as he preached the gospel, the very first sermon that we see in Acts 2. That's what he tells them when they ask, well, repent for the forgiveness of your sins. Turn from where you're going and what you feel is right and where you're headed. Turn from that path and follow him. So we must change course. One of the worst things that has ever got established in the Christian circles is that somehow Jesus is an add-on to the direction you're already going and you stay going. You don't see that anywhere in Scripture. They used to call it the way. If they would have had, you know, their name in their churches back then, that's probably what they would have called it, the way. This is different from where you were going. There's been a change. And, you know, the Lord Jesus did this, didn't he, when he healed those he healed. What did he tell and what did he say often? Go and sin no more. Don't continue on that path. There's to be a change that takes place in the life. So we turn from our way, our natural tendency, not just to continue to go on as we were before, but to go on now to what we have become. And this is where he paints that. I mean, why would you want to stay here in that way? The old nature desires, let's go down that path. You don't want to do that. That's darkness, entrapment, empty. There's nothing to that. No matter how much it appeals to the eyes, it is coming and following now Jesus Christ. This is very vital that we understand this as Christians. One of the things that we come to understand when we accept Jesus Christ is one of the things we need to continue to understand is we cannot trust our natural desires. We need to be renewed in Christ, who gives this new natural desire that we now follow and seek after and allow him to lead and not our own heart. So it's a new path, a new way. This new path, this new way that we're on, it should be very easy to recognize. Should be able to recognize very quickly because there's a difference in this person. You remember the Old Testament, right? The Old Covenant. You remember what God is showing us there? The picture that Christ would fulfill. Remember that those ceremonial laws? Have you ever read through those? And you just shake your head like, what in the world? What was God doing there? This is my people. My people are different. My people will do things differently. There will be a way in which they stand out. They're easy to recognize. And of course, in the new covenant, same is true. Not that we follow ceremonial law of the old covenant. We just simply follow the path Jesus Christ leads us. And most certainly, it causes us to stand out, and we are easily recognized. Part of this is it's the depth of the person. We're not empty, chasing little things of this life that flicker and flitter and go away. There is depthness to this person. You see a Christian, and there's reality. There's something there. They've got something far beyond this life. They've got a hope that burns within them. They got a direction and they got passion. Not just little empty little things of this life and that's all they got. Shallow. Difference. So our life is not to be vague or ambiguous or something which is difficult to define. Is that person a Christian? I don't know. Are they? That shouldn't ever be the case. What does the Lord Jesus say that we should be? The salt of the earth. What does that mean? You ever accidentally buy the unsalted peanuts? Yeah, for me, that's a no-go. But sometimes you're eating food, right? And it's just like nothing. Maybe popcorn. You just popcorn. You're like, oh, it's just, boy, you add some salt to that, and wow. Now we're talking. It just brings something to it. That's what he means. This is the Christian. They're the salt. Their substance, they draw attention. They show what life really is. What else did he say? Light of the world. We're the light of the world. We are to be a city on a hill. He says, who takes it? You're a lamp. And who takes a lamp and hides it under a bushel? That doesn't make any sense. You put a lamp up where it shines out. Our faith is to be shining bright. Out to the world around us, nobody questions, nobody wonders. No, he's a Christian. There's a stark difference. You know, and even the non-Christian oftentimes is aware of this and really don't respect the Christian that lives just like them. Like, I thought you were a Christian. Isn't that person supposed to be a Christian? You ever heard that? Hopefully we don't hear that about ourselves. We're to be different. The new way delivers us also then from what? Off our path, it delivers us from the enemy. Is what Scripture tells us. Going this new direction, we're going this direction. We're away from and out from the bondage of the enemy. Bondage from ourself and our desires, out from the bondage of the devil, the prince and the power of this earth, and the world. You remember in Acts, right after what we just mentioned, quoting it when he tells them and he preaches the gospel to them to repent, he then says, save yourself from this crooked generation. To be saved out from it, Galatians would say, Paul would say to them, speaking of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to what? To deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. In Colossians, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And when we think of darkness, and we think of this, what he defines as present evil age, we got to let the Bible define that. Not ourselves, because we'll get it wrong. Like, well, I don't mess around with evil. Whatever is contrary to God in Scripture is we're all called wicked. That includes all of us. He uses these terminologies for. We move away from that. We're following and seekers after him. You remember, speaking of the old covenant, in Egypt when they're in bondage, he doesn't tell them, well, let's just get you fixed up for that, make that place better. What was the whole purpose there? Get them out. Pull them out from there. There's a land, there's a kingdom for them. The picture that we see now fulfilled in the new covenant, we have been delivered. We're in the world. We're not of the world. New citizenship, delivered from this, and for all eternity, we will live in the realm of that, in God's kingdom, in God's family. That is where our citizenship is. So what accounts for this great contrast and what brings about this essential change? But that is not the way you learned Christ. Learned, simply increasing one's knowledge. To learn him is to embrace him. All that makes him Jesus Christ. Okay, this is not the time to play a la carte with Jesus Christ. I like this part of him, but I don't know about when he does that. And I like this thing about my Jesus is this way. And you hear that talk. No, this is, we embrace him fully for who he says he is and shows us the way that we have learned Christ, the way that we have come to know him. See, Christianity is not some mystical, hard to define kind of feeling or experience. You'll hear this, unfortunately. Right? People will say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, how'd that? I don't really know. I don't know. I went to a church one time and I got really into it. The music was really good and the feeling was really good, and I don't know, just decided to be a Christian. That's not it. There is something that is understood here. You have learned Christ. You have learned of Him. He is the foundation of the new path. It's not some feeling or something you've experienced. It's Christ, and it's coming to know Him and who He is. He does not say here, well, because of that marvelous experience that you had. No, it's what you've learned, what you've come to know. A huge part of this matter of coming to Christ and following Christ is a matter of knowledge. The New Testament puts an emphasis on this. You remember Zacharias, right, with the baby John the Baptist and what he says about him. He says he will go before the Lord to prepare the way, which is exactly what John the Baptist did, right? And he will to what? To give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. 1 Timothy 2. When Paul is telling us about what God desires, this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. And what about God? He is the one who desires all people to be saved, and notice what he has on there, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It is coming to understand and coming to know. But it's not simply head knowledge, for there's many that know the facts, but don't know Jesus Christ. So there's also a relational aspect of this that is always mentioned, as we'll see here. So he says, but that is not the way that you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him. Okay, now, the way this is written, he's not, in a rhetorical sense, he's not doubting them. We've already seen earlier that he is so excited for them because he realizes they have shown the evidence of being followers of Jesus Christ as he prays for them. Here's confidence. And it's, you know, it's kind of the sarcastic way we might say it, right? Well, surely you know this. It's obvious that you would know this. And so this is a breakdown of what he has said in 20 that he does here in 21, the way you've learned Christ. Well, assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, that you have heard about him. Well, there's three different words in Greek for to hear. Heard. This simply means to hear with your ears and to understand, right? Because you can hear things and not understand. But this is to hear it in a way that you understand it and it's received. Jesus uses this word when he speaks about that he heard from the Father. So also what we see here, it implies this intimate relationship of communication like Jesus had with the Father. What's really interesting about the Greek verb here for hear is it's closely related to the word obey. And in fact, the word for obedience, you could literally translate it under hearing. Under hearing, getting under what you've heard and doing something with it. This isn't we just come get some things to drop in our ear and it doesn't really have any impact. No, what he's talking about here is hearing that has most certainly changed our course of direction because we're not on that old path. We're on the new path, a new walk, a new purpose. And he does not mean that these folks actually heard physically Jesus Christ. We know that from where the location and timing of the written letter and what have you. And this is often used in Scripture that we hear. We hear Jesus through the prophets and the apostles, the foundation, as we have already seen in this book. In John chapter 5, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. There's a hearing. And of course, Romans 10:17 reminds us, So faith comes from experience. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is what he is talking about. That is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him. Heard to receive and to follow. To be taught by him. To be taught by him is to follow him. He's our teacher. We follow him. We're Christians. We're his students. And we are to know these things. We have come to understand these things because we're also required to proclaim these things. What does 1 Peter 3 remind us of? That we're always to be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that is in us. So we have to know. What we don't say is, wow, I don't know. You know, one day I was kind of, things were going rough. Things were hard and life was miserable and I came to know Jesus Christ. And sometimes they don't even say that. They just say, I became Christian and now everything is going wonderful. Because who can say that? Anyone. And they will. When I came to Islam, oh, that was wonderful. Life really turned around for me. When I came to Scientology, life turned for me. What is it that we are to proclaim? A feeling of experience? No, we're to proclaim Jesus Christ, the way, who he is, and following him. We proclaim what we have come to know. You have learned Christ. You've heard him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. And we know from earlier in our passage that the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us understanding. The Holy Spirit opens the eyes. So it isn't resting on, well, I gotta have to be somebody that's very intellectually sharp. It's not that. What does Scripture tell us? He's actually taken the foolish to shame the wise. He can open anyone's eyes to the understanding, to give them this. It doesn't matter how ignorant or how illiterate someone might be. So there is knowing Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. So what do we know from before? We were cut off. We were separated from God. But this life he gives now is knowing Christ, and as he has brought out to us, in a relational sense. Right? It's not simply, it starts with it, not simply head knowledge, but it moves into the heart. We know him. And it's not just simply a purely a cognitive sense. So he says, and we're taught in him. Now, we have to understand when it talks about teaching at this time, in classical Greek, teaching carries the idea where the student learns by imitating the instructor. That's how they were taught. You did what the instructor did. You watched him. And he learned this way. This most certainly is what is in mind here as we follow him. We're followers. Remember, we're Christian, which means we follow Jesus Christ. So we learn from him from what it is that he did and what it is that he taught. It's not simply just sins are forgiven and continue going. That's not what we see. It is a relational walk in a new way, and that is what he is showing us here. Walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And more than just simply, people have known the consequences of sin for a long, long time, and it doesn't change anyone, does it? It's a relationship that changes. It's a walk, it's a following that causes the heart to become and more like Jesus in the appreciation that is there. And notice what Scripture tells us that I can never get past. And I think I will spend all eternity not understanding this fully, that God is interested in my heart, and He wants communion with me. He wants communion with me. You ever think about that? You know, he would say, these people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The people, they're doing it all right. They got all their I's dotted and T's crossed, and their heart is ice cold. This is what he seeks. This is what he is searching for. This relationship with us, that we follow him. He instructs us. He shows us the way. In him we are taught. In him. He is creator of everything. He is master of all. Holds the world in the palm of his hand, and here it is. You can walk. You can follow me. And too often, I like my way better. I like the way I was kind of going with things. I like where I was headed. And we don't follow him, blinded by the world. The understanding of what it is that he brings to us in this walk. So it was in him, we were taught in him. The location of the truth is in Jesus himself. The word taught here imparts life to us. Right? Remember what we've already seen, that Christ is the head of the church, and from him, out of him, flows lifeblood to the body. When his word is taught, when the very words of Jesus Christ are proclaimed, they're the lifeblood to our heart. Move us. The word that is taught is what he's showing us here is a person. We're taught a person, Jesus Christ. And we have been taught in union with him. It's in him. He always points this out to us in Christ. You were taught in him. It's not a detached kind of feeling of some historical, stale teaching of facts. You know, sometimes history class was interesting, and then sometimes it's just like, yeah, bunch of old stuff that happened along. This is a living relationship, and we're taught in union with him as he is head, and we are in the body. You are no longer an outsider. You are in Christ. You are learning from the inside. That's the idea. In Christ. You were taught in him, as then he wants to further explain that, as the truth is in Jesus. You notice how he switched there from Christ to Jesus? It's not by accident. What does Jesus speak of? His humanity. What does he bring into our attention here? This is not some philosophical religion and ideas. This is a person, a human being who lived in this world. God who became flesh. I love how John brings that out to us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. That he's seen. A person, God living in this world. And this is what we follow. This path we're on is a person, not just a set of ideas. And it's very easy to do that as we get into Scripture, isn't it? To make them wooden. And some things and facts that we're to follow instead of realizing you're following a person. He's your teacher. You imitate what he did as a Christian. The truth is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And so, to really know the truth, we must come to Jesus himself, because truth is located in his personage. It's found in him. You can't read the Bible and see any other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. If someone tells you they're a Christian and you never hear Jesus come off their lips, there's a problem there. They might be really young in the faith and don't know how to explain some things, possibly. But I find it very hard to believe. How does one know that my way was the wrong way and I'm turning from this, I'm repenting of that and putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and following him? That's salvation. Not a mental assent to something that, oh, my parents are Christians, so I guess I am. I grew up going to church, so I must be Christian. Eternity is in the balance here. Have you come to know him? The truth is found in him. And it is walking in his way. There is a world of difference between learning a lesson and learning a person. And there is a lonely world of difference, an eternal lonely world of difference, from just simply knowing the legend of Jesus Christ and knowing the man, the person, knowing him. This is the one I want. I don't care what the cost is. This is the one I want. Turning from self and sin. This is the idea that he is painting out for us here. That this is a true follower of Jesus Christ, one who has left that and is following him. It's all to do with knowing a person, trusting, following, loving him. We hear much today about following, don't we, with social media. I'm following this person. Are you following so-and-so? Are you following this one? What's that mean? Well, you follow them because you want to know more. You want to know more about them. It wasn't just a casual interaction like, oh, that's interesting. They seem interesting, but no, I want to follow them. I'm intrigued. I want to know. This is the child of God off their path, following Jesus Christ, actively following him and learning of him. More about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his fullness, saving fullness, see. More of his love who died for me. It is not enough to say the truth is simply in him. We accept the whole truth as it is him. We have received him. We have said yes. You remember the disciples, right? As the Lord Jesus comes along and asks them, follow me. And they follow him. That's what a disciple was. A follower of Jesus Christ. What are we told to do? Go and make disciples. Go and make followers of Jesus Christ. Not just people that simply, for a moment, assent, that come to the front of a church room and say, yes, oh yes, I accept Jesus, and then just keep going where they were headed. It is to become followers of Jesus Christ, committed to him, where he is their everything, their redeemer, their savior, their creator, their great high priest, their Lord, their everything. Remember the rich young ruler that came? What did he come? What did he want to know? See, this is what people, they want the benefits. They want the benefits, but they don't really too interested in Jesus. What did he want? I want eternal life. I want to know. Come on. What is it I need to do? What is it has to take place? Because I want this eternal life. Many, many people want the same thing today. They want the benefit. They want eternal life. But they don't want Jesus. They want to keep going where they're going and headed. There's no turning off the old way to follow him. And Jesus puts his finger right on the problem. All right, sell all that you have and give to the poor. That's not a command for all of us. He's putting his finger on this man. Would you be a follower of me and give up all that you have as number one in your life? Do we challenge ourselves in this way? If I'm going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, is he number one? Is he my all in all? Or if he put his finger on something in my life, would I walk away like the rich man did? Say, I can't give that up. I can't let that go. That's the idea. Following him wherever that leads. Is that going to go down easy street? Absolutely not. It might be an easier life than before when you think about what he explained in that old walk and the darkness of that. That sounds miserable, and it is, and it's empty. So in that regard, this following him in this way is way more exuberant and fulfilling. Difficult. Well, that's a whole other story, right? Because he has told us, don't be surprised when those fiery trials come upon you. Don't be surprised when they come upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Boy, that verse convicts me. Because every time a trial happens, it's like, what is this? And he tells us, you ready for that? That's following me. That's going to happen because you're going to stick out. Your life's going to rub. There's going to be a difference there. But oh, is he worth it? As he is everything to us. Do you know him? Do you truly know him? Timothy, we read Paul saying to Timothy, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. I know him. Do you know him? Or is it just some facts? Oh, that you would follow him. That you would, if you have to get alone in your room, and get on your knees and say, God, open my eyes. Move me off this path that I'm not seeking my own desires and going down my own way, that I truly move off that to follow you and become your disciple, your follower, and I can proclaim Jesus Christ because he is everything. I have failed miserably as a pastor if I can't move you to Jesus Christ. Because that's where it's at. That's where it's all at, is in him and being a follower of his. The mark of the Christian life is to think like Christ, to act like Christ, to love like Christ in every possible way we live. Like Jesus Christ. And we got our manual for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we realize we're not even worthy. As John the Baptist could say, I'm not worthy to tie the sandals of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet you have allowed us to become followers of his, intimate, close, knitted followers of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this way that took us off the trajectory of where we were headed, the endlessness of where we were at in our way. Father, we're reminded so often in scriptures, we see those verses that tell us there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. And Father, you've moved us from that, the way that seems so right, that seemed to be so fulfilling to our desires. Oh, we thank you for awakening us from this darkness. And may we not go back to that path. We follow you. Follow Jesus Christ, that we emulate him. That our life show this, as James reminds us that faith without works is dead. Our faith shown and seen through our life as we follow Jesus Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful good news of salvation. We thank you for what it is we have in Jesus Christ. When it is in eternity that we are with him and we are walking, then we will fully understand so much better what we fail to see and realize now, that we live by faith now. Father, this will be a reality for us. We look forward to that day. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.